Is the mic on?
I don't know.
Episode 103. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Another week in my life. It's absurd. I had to call 911 again. This might be the fourth time I've had to call 911 in Los Angeles. I've lived in cities all over the world. I've never had to call the police. This is the fourth time. I'll get into that later. But first, and more importantly, you want to know what drives me nuts?
Sure.
It's the little things.
Yeah.
It's the little things. I had a guest over, and she broke my printer.
So you called 911?
No. Hold on. I'll get to you in a second. My printer broke.
Okay.
I had a guest over. She did some flailing move. You ever see like those blow-up things outside of the car wash and outside of the car dealerships that their arms are going like this? She did some sort of move like that, hit my printer, and broke this little part. Okay, here's the part that drives me nuts. So this is the catch-all for the printer. It's the paper stopper. You know, the paper comes out of it.
I understand.
And it goes like, now it goes flying all over the place. Thanks to this guest. Here's my advice. I'm going to start here.
Okay.
If you go to somebody's house, don't break shit.
That's good advice.
Here's why this is absolutely torturing me.
And why?
Can't you
just put it back on?
You can profile me.
Okay.
Jim Clemente is a former FBI.
Oh, that's profiler. A way, way, way higher profiling problem than I'm capable of, I think, at these times.
Well, you're going to have fun with this one. So this little piece here was held together by two little pieces of plastic that are on the printer, right. And then it slides in.
Right.
Okay. She hit it so violently that this thing flew off. The little pieces flew off. They can't be glued. I can't figure out how to glue them. I don't have like a printer vice fixer.
You don't have a hot glue gun?
No, do you?
Yeah.
All right, let's fix it then.
All right, definitely.
Let's stop this podcast and fix it. Here are the little pieces. I've taped them in there. But here's the thing. I've had this printer probably 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And it works. And I was about to, I ran out of ink starting in December.
They probably stopped making the ink.
No, they have the ink, Jim. Oh. This is what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
Let me finish a thought here.
Okay.
This is what I'm trying to say, is that I bought ink for it in December. The ink for this printer. So I thought, should I buy a new modern printer? This printer does, I hate to sound like an old person, does everything I need. I can print wirelessly, and the ink lasts forever. And it just works. I know how to
scan it. It's a workhorse, right.
I don't know how to, I'm not going to learn a whole new operating system on a printer.
Right.
So I said, you know what? I'm good. And I thought, this is good for the environment. Rather than throw out this big heap of plastic, and we're going to get into this later, I'm going to be discussing plastic in Los Angeles later. So this all will tie together.
Oh, wow.
You know how my mind works. So I thought that I'm actually recycling. So I spent $180 on the ink. With that, I got 50% back in rewards. Okay, so I got $90. Yeah, $90. No, it's actually $120 because then you recycle the old cartridges and they give you $5 for each cartridge. Now I've got $120 worth of credit. I don't know if you've been to a Staples lately, but it's turned into Radio Shack. There's nothing there.
Really?
It's depressing. The lighting's depressing. Their electronics, they have horrible hard drives, SD cards. They have nothing I want.
I buy my office chairs there, though.
Well, I wish you told me I had $120 credit. So here's the thing. These cartridges last me 3 or 4 years. I'm not kidding.
All right.
Jim, you say, Orny Adams, how do you know this? And I'm going to tell you how I know this. Because on every cartridge,
you write the date?
The day I installed the cartridge. This one that I just replaced is when?
10/28/2020.
Yeah, for all the people that complain that their cartridges don't last, their Hewlett-Packards, this has lasted
3.5 years.
3.5 years.
That's crazy.
3.5 years. So why would I get rid of it? You know,
don't
I would
get rid of it.
Right.
This is the cartridge?
That's
this
cartridge.
Whole thing.
Yes.
This one little thing lasts 3.5 years.
And look how I print. This is for my podcast just for today. Look at all these pages.
I'm shocked because
and I don't print
my cartridge is like this big.
Ah,
and it doesn't last that long.
Now you're seeing why I wanted to keep this thing.
Because definitely.
If there isn't a problem, don't fix it. That's right. Let it be. So
crazy.
Now, I had $120. I couldn't find anything to buy. If I knew that you needed a chair, I would have gladly gifted it to you. So what did I do, Jim?
What did you buy?
I bought all another set of cartridges.
Oh, Lord.
So now I have 7 years of cartridges lined up. I love this printer. It came from my other home. I brought it in a U-Haul from my other home all the way up to my new home. It didn't break.
Before it was damaged.
And now this, and I can't stand that it's broke. This will drive my mind nuts. Every time I look at it, I'll think of the broken printer. I didn't break it. Somebody else did.
Wow.
It will drive me nuts. And here's the thing. I've now been on eBay and Facebook Marketplace, and I'm trying to find... This is the name of the printer. If anybody... Like, if any you listeners live in some podunk part of the country where, you know, these printers, they just... They'll give them away. Here in Los Angeles, they're trying to sell them for up to $1,200. And I just want this one part. And I found some people that are selling parts printers for like $100. I just want this. I just want the paper stopper catch tray for the Office Jet Pro 8600 Plus. What a dumb name. Office Jet Pro 8600 Plus. It's like they started with Office Jet 8600, then they made it a Pro, and then they made another version that's a Plus. But you can't use the tray from the Office Jet Pro 8600. It has to be the Plus. If any listeners out there have this printer or live in a town where somebody's giving it away, please, I need the whole thing that pulls out. I need it or I will go more insane.
Let's please help this man.
Episode 103. My guest again, Jim Clemente.
How you doing, Orny?
I'm great, man. Bringing this down, former FBI profiler, podcaster, rock and roll dude.
Yeah, sure. Rock and roll dude, maybe not, but yeah. I used to play in a band in high school.
No, I'm just saying, in the podcast world, I was pitching you to somebody the other day during a Super Bowl party, and I said, this guy, you know, we should do something together, which we've talked about forever. And he said, what has he done? I said, his podcasts have 100 million downloads.
Yeah.
100 million downloads. This podcast is 100.
Million.
100.
No.
Just 100.
No,
Jim.
That's not true at all.
That's it.
I know for sure that's not true. Because,
nobody's listening.
Because I've seen hundreds and hundreds of comments, and I don't think it's the same person commenting 300 times.
It might be. It might be a bot. It might be. I have to say this.
You know, I'm not a bot.
You are. To me, you are. Okay. I treat you like a Russian bot.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Jim. Of all the guests I've had on, now you've been on the most.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am so privileged. Man, I've been in the... In the Yellow Monster more times than anybody else?
That's Big Yellow.
I know, but I call it the Yellow Monster.
I thought we weren't supposed to use the word monster.
Oh, really?
You told me that. Yeah, when we refer to, you know, rapists and pedophiles.
Yes, but I wasn't talking about a rapist or pedophile. I was talking about a trailer.
I just don't like...
Okay, you don't like to use it at all anymore.
No, either use the word monster or not. That's what I'm saying, Jim.
Okay. All right, we won't use monster anymore. You listen to me, huh?
Oh, I listen to everything.
Actually listening to me.
Here's my problem with most of the world.
Are we going to find out finally what's wrong with Orny Adams?
And the people I date.
Okay.
Nobody listens. Okay. Nobody takes it in, digests, takes a second to think. Everybody's so reflexive. I listen. I hear everything. And I put it in a little the Jim Clemente bank in the corner of my head.
You have one of those,
and
huh?
It will come back to haunt you at some point.
I'm
more
sure
than
it will. It has already.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, what was I saying before you interrupted? What was it?
It was something about Monster, but, you know, that was when I talked about the trailer being here the most.
Yeah, here's the deal. I get more emails to my What's Wrong at OrnyAdams.com email. And by the way, about to shut that off. The loonies.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's, yeah.
But you don't relate to them?
No.
Really?
No, I'm thinking at this point in my life, maybe it's time I cut myself off.
Oh, no.
From the public.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. But what happens when I, come on, the loonies come out?
No, they love you.
The loonies love me.
No, like really smart people and unsmart people, unsophisticated people love you.
Really?
They love you as a
guest.
What is
wrong with me?
I don't know. They love our banter.
Yeah, well, I won't say it. I love you, too. I love being here.
Yeah, it's great.
The thing is, like I said, you make me laugh. It's definitely something I need all the time. And when I can't see you, like when you're traveling to Chicago or Where was that? Minnesota or some other place?
Michigan and then Chicago.
Yeah, Michigan. Okay. You know, I can't actually hang out with you, so I go to YouTube and I watch you.
Instagram you watch a lot, too.
I do that, too. Yeah. You constantly send me clips and things like that, and I always laugh. I love the little clip when you were out in the middle of the street and you were talking to the crowd.
You love
it.
And
it turned out they were statues.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your crowd. That's your people. They never boo you, do they?
No, they never do.
No.
They never
do. They're always there for you.
They're there for me. They're like always. Stones. They don't react. Right. But here's the thing. In the old days, you used to walk around like I was in Michigan, a town called Holland, Michigan. And I was taking a couple of days off in between Traverse City, Michigan show. I played a theater, the Opera House. And I was going to Chicago to play the Improv, which I love. I play every January. I have a couple of days off. Mm-hmm. You can't enjoy it. You're constantly looking for ways to make content.
Really?
And so I'm walking around. I saw these stupid kids sitting in a semicircle. And so I said, I've got to film this to promote my Chicago shows now.
Well, that's smart. Yeah. Well, I think that's the key. They say on social media that all the platforms have something on there every day or at least several times a week. And some people do 4 or 5 times a day. It's crazy. But I just noticed something.
Yeah.
Morning. You're drinking a new color drink now.
I know.
What's up with that?
Well, first,
it's no longer green. No, and it's kind of pink flamingo. It blends exactly with the pink flamingos.
Jim, what
on your glass.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the 14th of February.
Yeah, it's Valentine's
it
Day.
It is. So
and
is
I'm
this a,
celebrating.
You're celebrating early?
I'm doing a little bit a variation from the green drink. I'm doing like a pink flamingo. And as I drink, more of the flamingo will be revealed
right,
on the cup.
Because when it was full, you couldn't even see the flamingos. It was the perfect color.
I have a plastic cup with flamingos on it that are in a mating dance.
Is that what that is?
This one, although a flamingo is peacocking, and I will reveal as this Valentine's show continues more and more, and one of them is erect. And that will be revealed. Stay tuned if you're watching the video. Stay
Good
tuned.
Lord.
If you're watching the video immediately, you're probably
I thought this was just Art Deco.
Yeah, you're on Patreon. If not, you're watching on YouTube a couple months later, weeks later, saying, why is he talking about Valentine's Day in April?
Yeah.
And it's because you're too cheap to support the Patreon. But you can listen to the audio always. Right. But what I'm saying is the audience loves Jim Clemente.
I appreciate it. Thank you, audience.
I send you the comments because I want you to know how loved you are.
Thank you. I really do appreciate it. Because I don't read comments on my own podcast.
Come on.
Every now and then, somebody will write and say how they've changed their life or gotten out of a bad situation or learned something that saved their life. And our tech person will send us copies around of it, and that's really nice to hear. But you know, when I first got onto Twitter, for example, I was told that what sells on Twitter is controversy.
Yeah.
So if you get arguments with people, you'll just see 5, 10, 15, 20, you know, your followers going up. And I did that, but then I was like, this is so negative.
Right.
So I stopped doing that.
Yeah, that's not for me either. Yeah. It's not for me. I don't like controversy. In fact, I was just asked this week to speak at Chicago University, University of Chicago, about something controversial. And I said that's not my brand. I said, I'm talking about the more important things like broken printers. This is, if you want to come to your university and discuss my broken printer, which it's all I can think about during this entire podcast, is the broken printer.
Well, we're going to have to look at that.
Jim, I have 7 years of ink left that I've got to wait out until I can buy a new printer. And I've already gone online to see if I can sell the ink. And even if I get this part, I will be looking at my printer knowing it's not the complete printer I bought. Now, what is this psychosis that I have? Diagnose me.
I think it's affective attachment disorder.
What does that mean?
Oh, it means that you're attached to something that you shouldn't be.
How about I like things to be right? How about I never broke my printer? How about
I think if we might be able to just, you know, tweak it a little bit, and even if we can't glue those little pieces back on, we might be able to drill a little hole in the side.
All right, I like the way you're thinking.
And put a little wire coming out.
Ooh.
And then the wire will hold it. Yeah.
Yeah, but then we'd have to drill into this thing and put... Why,
no, no, it, that thing has the holes that the, oh, the this, little nibs go into.
This is what we would call the female.
Oh, of course.
In construction.
I know that's good.
I know
you're
it's
very
dated,
good.
But yeah, we could create a male. You're right.
Yes. Yeah.
But then I'll be looking at it thinking, this janky thing. I actually, I should put the pictures up. I taped, I used duct tape. So when I printed today, it would...
It would stop use duct tape.
Yeah. So I'm upstairs. I'm about to shower here.
Did you go...
No. It fell off within minutes. Made such a loud sound. I thought somebody was breaking in.
All right. Well, it don't. I hope you didn't go to Home Depot and buy duct tape and zip ties and things like that to try to fix it. Because, you know, right away, that goes to the BAU.
Well, that's my kill set.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to talk to you about that, too.
Kill kit.
We can talk about it now. What? Because I've been discussing this on stage, and I've expanded the bit even more.
What's that?
I'm fascinated that these serial killers that are married and have kids get away with it. And I don't know. I don't want to give away what makes the bit really funny. Buy a ticket to my show. But how do they miss the signs? The women.
How do the women? Well, first of all, there's probably
assuming
a spectrum.
Assuming that the husband's a serial killer.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a spectrum of offenders too, and a spectrum of why they're married. Some of them are married because they're sublimating their killing instincts by finding a wife and kids they can control. So that gives them that sense of control that they're looking for. And if they're able to do it in such a way that they, you know, they can fantasize and think about what they've done before, it sometimes makes them stop killing. Other times, the family is just a beard. It's a cover. It's so that they look legitimate and they look for any opportunity to get the family away. When normally, for example, in Gilgo Beach, normally when it's vacation time, you would go on vacation with your wife and kids. But no, that was his opportunity to send his wife and kids away so he could kill.
But how does the wife not notice that? How does she not say, well, every time I'm away on vacation with the kids, a dead body shows up?
Yeah, but that's not what happened. They didn't find most of the bodies for many years. They were all decomposed by the time they found them. So it wasn't until the very end, the last person that went missing caused searches, but it was actually just a dog trainer. A guy out there training his dog to find bodies, and he found a body.
Wow.
So that was a pretty good dog.
Jackpot on that training.
But you know
session.
What? You know what? So they found him on the beach. At that very moment, I was filming an episode of Criminal Minds that I wrote called Big C.
Mm.
It was a play on a number of things. Big C, the C, S-E-A,
mm-hmm.
The C in my last name,
mm-hmm.
The thing that I
C's
defeated.
Candies.
Yeah. Seize candies.
Yes.
And I remember while I was on the set, and by the way, I was playing an FBI
Seesaws.
Agent. Seesaws. There you go. C-SPAN.
C-SPAN.
Yes. So I was on the beach and I was playing in that episode, I was playing an FBI agent who was in the evidence response team recovering bones. From the beach.
Wait, you wrote the episode, then you were in the episode?
Yes, I'm
in
every...
some work for other people.
I'm in every episode.
Jim Clemente?
It's just a tiny little role. Right. I do the Alfred Hitchcock thing where I show up in every one of my scenes.
Didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, I was playing an FBI agent recovering bones. And, you know, so the actors were saying, you know, this guy, nobody ever believed he was an FBI agent. You know, they were messing with me. But anyway, then I got a text from my sister, my sister Patty.
Can we say where Patty is right now? Or
well, we can.
She in an undisclosed
location? No, she's not. She's in a semi-undisclosed location, right? Because this is a semi-undisclosed location.
Yes, it is.
Right, yeah. My sister is actually here.
She's right outside.
Right outside.
It's, and it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Patty.
Yeah, happy birthday. So
this is her birthday gift.
Yes, coming
listening
to
this live.
Coming
coming to
meet you.
Buy her something. I have $120 credit at Staples.
We're going right to Staples after this.
Anybody need 950, 951 ink cartridges for HP? Because I've got 7 years of them.
So anyway, my sister texted me and said, did you hear they found bodies on the beach?
Yeah.
In Long Island. Mm. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? She said no, and I looked it up, and they did. And that night, I was on CNN, and actually Don Lemon.
CNN.
CNN. Why didn't we say that before? CNN. We were on there, and Don, at the end, after he talked to me about the bodies and stuff, he said, "Hey, you're filming now. You're an episode you wrote." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you ever use like real cases like this to put into episodes?" And I said, "Don, I wrote an episode 2.5 months ago about finding bodies decomposed on the beach, and we're shooting that right now. And then today they find the bodies." No, life imitates art. Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And so it was crazy, but that's how it went down. And then in 2011, the New York Times asked me to profile the case, and I did, and it turned out to be spot on.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
You knew he worked in Manhattan?
I knew that he lived in this area. I knew that his wife and kids went away on vacation, or his parents. I knew one of those. I knew he had a meticulous job. I knew that he worked or played with burlap, because he was using burlap to wrap the bodies, and that's very unusual. It turns out he used them for hunting blinds. They were camouflaged burlap. Okay. He had the women that he killed were mainly very petite, and they looked very young, and I thought he might be sexually interested in children. And yes, they found child pornography on his computer. So all that kind of stuff came out. And that's how profiling works. You look at behavior.
I thought you were going to say the spouses kind of know, but they put it in another part of their mind, meaning that they probably deep down inside know they're married to a serial killer or somebody who's killed somebody, but they probably just say,
I don't think so. I think they probably know they're married to somebody who is a controlling person, a very controlling person. And because of that, they're sort of always on edge and they're scared. And especially if they have kids, and that's one of the ways that a serial killer can control his wife, by having kids with her, so that the kids are now a priority, protecting them. So if he's a threat to them, and for example, he says, "If you ever leave me, I'll find you and I'll kill the kids." Oh. That's a good way to keep her from leaving him. So it's a way to control. And again, that's one extreme. I think BTK was very, very extremely controlling with his wife and kids. And I don't know how abusive he got, but I'm sure that the Gilgo Beach murderer also was very controlling. And what's interesting is he spent a lot of money on his car. He spent a lot of money on his business, but the home that he had his wife and kids in was falling apart. Hmm. That's why I believe they were a cover for him, because he didn't actually care for them. He didn't give a damn about them, and he didn't give a damn about his living circumstances. As long as he was able to hire prostitutes while they were away, while the wife and kids were away, and then killed them.
Yeah. The BTK one fascinates me because he stopped killing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And when they caught him, they said, "Why did you stop killing?" And he said, "Physically, I just couldn't do it anymore."
Mm.
I thought it's always the knees. Isn't it the knees given first and lower back? I mean,
could be carpal tunnel, you know.
Yeah, you don't want the younger serial killers, judging you, going, BTK's work is not up to par. It's not doing it like he used to.
No, he isn't. No,
at some point, you got to retire. You gotta retire.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. They kill till they can't breathe anymore.
What are you supposed to do if your dad is a serial killer? Like, what advice can you give these kids?
Well, it's not necessarily going to be passed down genetically. Nothing like that is an absolute. And what you have to do is work on your own personality. And if you feel, remember what I say, the genetics loads the gun, personality and psychology aim it, and experiences pull the trigger. Well, you can help in the development of your personality if you feel anything dark like you're interested in or just curious about, then you can steer yourself away from that. And I would, in the privacy of your own brain, make sure that you don't lean towards the dark side, and get therapy if you feel like you're being attracted to that, as well as avoiding circumstances that could give you access to victims.
Have you ever met anybody that said, "I am mentally a serial killer, but I stopped myself my entire life. I'm just telling you this. I'm 90 years old, and I want to confess that my entire life I wanted to kill and hurt multiple people, but I stopped myself."
I've talked to some people who were, I would say, mentally unstable, who've talked about that, talked like that, and I don't know if they have ever done anything very violent before. I've never actually talked to somebody who I would say would be just a rational person who would say that to an FBI agent. I just don't think
even
they
though
would.
They never acted on it. Like, yeah. Study my brain. Study. Is there one consistent attribute or characteristic that every serial killer has?
Well,
besides the fact that they kill.
Yeah, Dr. James Fallon, who unfortunately passed away recently. Who's
Let's
a good
have,
guy.
We have a moment of silence for Dr. Fallon. Okay. If we could just listen to this, the leaf blowers. Do you hear the leaf blowers?
Yes, I do.
I'm trying to pay tribute to Dr. Fallon, who's since passed. When did he pass away?
2023.
Yeah, Dr. Fallon, rest in peace. We're leaf blowing in your honor up here at...
Great mind. Awesome. Amazing. His brain was so big. His head was like twice as big as normal. But he...
Physically,
he just had a huge brain. He was a brilliant guy. Wow. And he discovered the psychopath gene. Now, he also discovered that he had it. He had that gene.
Whoa!
And there's the...
Plot twist.
Well, he said that he took DNA samples from his entire family as a control group. And then tested it against the psychopaths that he tested their brains and their brain scans. And when he was looking at the control group, he found one in the control group that was actually had the psychopath gene. And then he found out it was him.
Whoa.
And
what does he do?
Well, he does nothing. He studies himself a little bit. But basically what he did was he was able to control it. You know, he was able to do something good with it. There are these CEO psychopaths who are incredibly successful because psychopaths don't care about human beings. So they'll step on anybody to get ahead.
But they know how to fake it.
They do know how to fake it.
They do. They can study the normal brain, the non-sociopath, and they can mimic those behaviors.
Right.
That's why they are the scariest people. They are living amongst us. I talked about this book, The Sociopath Next Door, on my podcast.
But the biggest difference between a psychopath and a sociopath is that sociopaths are very impulsive, okay? So they do things, snap judgment. They do crazy things like that. They do violent things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas a psychopath typically fantasizes about it a long time, plans, is incredibly detailed, you know, wants to live it and relive it and relive it. So they're very compulsive. So that's the opposite ends of the spectrum. They may have similar behaviors, but their personalities, their fundamental personalities are different in that one is very impulsive, the sociopath, and one is very compulsive.
Hmm.
And now the sociopath is called the antisocial personality disorder.
I'm done with new labels.
Okay, well,
Jim, I'm so sick of new labels. I can't even tell you. It doesn't change a thing. Calling homeless people unhoused.
I know, that's really ridiculous. Can't somebody be in a trailer? Are they untrailered?
Yeah, I don't.
Are they unapartmented? That's ridiculous.
Jim, I'm sorry.
It doesn't describe anything.
I'm all for inclusivity. To a point, but I read an article in the New Yorker. They called what we used to call stray cats. Don't say stray cat.
No.
Unowned. They're now unowned.
Why?
Cats.
Why? There's no cats that aren't stray.
No.
Well, there's they're not cats in the wild that have nothing to
unowned.
Do with civilization.
No,
that's ridiculous.
It's just, I'm sorry.
I'm with you on that one.
I've seen them change the names. Okay, what did they used to call? They used to call them nut houses, mental houses. They used to call them asylums.
Right.
Now what are they called? Home, snuggly homes for the disenfranchised? Sociopath, call them, C personality. You know, like, it's just, nothing has changed. The sociopath 100 years ago, 20 years ago, 500 years ago is the same, whether you call them that or what are they called now? Disassociated what?
No. Antisocial personality disorder.
Oh, because they kill people? I'd certainly call that antisocial.
They don't necessarily kill people. Sociopaths don't necessarily kill people. But I think part of it is, you know, the DSM. Oh, it's an acronym. Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychological Association.
Yeah.
They like to update it every now and then, so they like to change terms.
Yeah.
So they can change definitions, and they have some things in and some things out. It gets a little ridiculous, you're right.
Yeah. I
sort of like the tax code. You know, in law school, we studied tax law.
Yeah.
we literally had a stack of books that was about 3.5 feet high from the floor that we had to read. We had to understand this whole code. And the year after I graduated, they threw that whole thing out and wrote a new one.
I'm still trying to get over that they don't call it the Soviet Union anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just...
USSR.
Yeah.
Back in the U.S. Back
so
in
you,
the U.S.
So you saw the clip. You watched me online. You watched me on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm stalking you, basically.
Yeah. So you saw the clip of me upsetting all of Lithuania. And I'm going to have an update because... Again, there was somebody from Lithuania on my show the other night at the Improv.
Another one?
Yes, in Hollywood.
Well, I was there, actually, in the audience the first time you had the Lithuanian.
Did you know at that moment, if I posted that clip, I was going to upset all of Lithuania, the entire country?
I've seen them do videos, and I don't know why they pop up on my feed now, but videos about, I'm from Lithuania, so don't talk to me, or I'm from Lithuania, don't expect to come to my house. Like, all these things about they're, like, very standoffish people. Is that true? Was that just satire?
No, I don't. It's probably satire, but it seems like I've never been attacked by a whole country that I know nothing about. I don't even know where it is
clearly,
on the map.
Because you think they make lithium batteries.
Well, that was what I came up at the time. And, you know, I'm actually not proud of the joke, but I'm proud that I thought of that on the spot.
I think you should be proud of it.
Yeah, but...
certainly not insulting in any way.
But you know the update.
I do know the update.
Yeah, my great-grandparents are from Lithuania. Like, I'm Lithuanian. So
it's in your genes.
I have this.
So the genetics loaded that gun.
Yeah, so I've got that anger, that Lithuanian anger.
Yes, apparently.
But I was on stage, and, like, the guy in the front row was from Germany, then Lithuania back there, and then there was another, like, country, and I said, is anybody from a country that I care about that I want to build an audience in? Can I talk to somebody that, like, some guy goes, Australia? I'm like, all right, I'll talk to Australia. But on my Instagram, I posted a video. So, you know, I do this whole bit. See, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to look at the camera. I'll talk to the audience for a second. When I do my hour, and you can see me this weekend. This will air the audio probably tonight or tomorrow. So starting Thursday, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'll be at McCurdy's Comedy Club in Sarasota, Florida. Now, I go there every year. The weekends are basically sold out. Saturday, there are single seats left. Friday, there are a couple of two seats left. Thursday, we got about 50 tickets. So get your crap together, Sarasota. You know, Sarasota's a bunch of old people.
Is it?
And they're going to act like a Thursday's any different than Friday or Saturday?
Well, you know, they really want to go out and get their fun on Friday and Saturday, don't they?
Well, I'll say this is encouraging. The late shows, Friday and Saturday, are selling better than the early shows, which makes me think maybe...
There's some young people?
The great-grandkids are the people that normally come to my shows.
Great-grandkids.
Yes, are coming. Maybe the Lithuanians are coming to see me in Sarasota.
They could be. I think you have a huge Lithuanian fan base now.
Well, this girl said, this was fascinating. She said, we came tonight because we saw the video. We thought it was funny. I'm in a Lithuanian group. We pass your Lithuanian videos around. So it might be one of these things that,
you've,
you know,
done it. You have created a market in Lithuania.
I might become the Yakov Smirnoff of Lithuania. Like, I might go over there and just dominate this market. Whatever happened to Ornie Adams? Guy is touring Lithuania, tearing it up.
Touring Lithuania. How much of Lithuania is there to tour?
I don't know. But
I don't. What are the big cities in Lithuania?
Some of these people look like you don't want to, you know, piss them off.
Really?
They've got that.
Are they very tall?
Eastern Bloc sort of. Oh. You know. Look.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do. Here's. I'm talking to the camera again now.
Okay. Go
so
for
I'm talking
it.
To the audience. I'll when I do drink. My hour. Which sometimes is an hour and 20, sometimes an hour and 30. Sometimes it's just an hour. When I'm on stage for an hour, I need a breather. So if you notice, like in every one of my routines, sometimes there's a little crowd interaction. Sometimes I'm doing a joke where I recite something from a piece of paper, but it gives me a second to catch my breath and catch my brain. And so for a while, my favorite joke to do was about saving a life. And I asked if anybody else has saved any other heroes in the audience. And I got to tell you something, Jim, it's still one of my favorite jokes to do. And when I was in Chicago, all five shows, I didn't do that joke. And every time when I'm doing a routine and I start leaving out my favorite jokes or don't need to do them, it's time to do a new special.
Oh, really?
So it's time.
Really?
It's time.
You're going to do like a whole special for...
Well, got to find a place for it, the funding, a theater. Like, it's a lot involved. It's not like when I shot my other specials where you get like a Showtime or a Comedy Central or one of these people to back you. You know, I have had no success with Netflix, you know, although I'm doing, I will be announcing, I think tomorrow, that I'll be part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival here in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Doing a show at one of the comedy, local, a new club actually, but I'll announce that. All my dates are up at ornieadams.com/tour.
Okay.
Everything's up there. But, so my new bit that I love to talk about is ashes, spreading ashes.
Mm.
And in Chicago, every time I started to talk about it, because, you know, ashes, they don't all look like ashes. There's chunks in there. There's bony ash.
Right.
And, you know, they could run it through the thing a couple of times, is the way I feel.
Probably.
I mean, I'm saying, like, you know.
Probably cost more.
Yeah, but if you look and this guy didn't cremate as successfully, let's do a second run. You know what I mean?
I guess, yeah.
Like, maybe, like, you sign off, you say, all right, it's $200 a run. If I do a second run, it's another $75. Because it's already in there. They don't have to sweep the crematorium out. So, there was a guy in the front row. I was talking to this guy about ashes. I posted the video on my Instagram and TikTok and all that. And another person in Chicago tried to release the ashes of their loved one at Wrigley Field.
Oh.
And they got busted. They got caught. Is it illegal? We all know I talk about on stage, someone wanted to spread their ashes in my backyard.
Right.
Is it illegal to spread ashes on private property, public property? What is the law?
I don't know that there's any law about it, but I think in a building or even maybe in a stadium kind of enclosure, there may be some health implications. Mm-hmm. So they could have rules that say, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that any private property can come up with their own rules.
Jim, I just played with my hair. Look at it. What
looks
happened?
Amazing.
Just, I look like Munchichi. I was trying to even it out. I'm looking in the monitor.
I don't even know who Munchichi is.
How do I get to this side? I'm trying to. There it is. I'm trying to get to that side.
You know, this is, you know, you've actually made it when you come on Orny's podcast and he plays with his hair for 45 minutes.
I don't understand. You went to law school. They didn't talk about the
law. No, they did not. They didn't.
Law school?
Fordham University School of Law.
That's low level law school right there. If they're not teaching ash distribution laws, here's another crazy law.
What?
I found this again. My audience is so smart.
Okay.
They're very smart, and they feel comfortable enough to interact with me. Where was I?
Because you're smart.
Yeah, they were standing up. People were standing up Thursday show in Chicago and giving testimonials of how they knew me and how many people, the first time they saw me, or how many people they're bringing back from the year before when they saw me. But I found out, because we know I talk about, I don't want to give away the joke, when you sell a home, you have to disclose certain things.
Right.
And I was shocked to find out. And I'm putting this up there here with all the dumb laws, which we've discussed.
We have discussed a few of them.
You can't, in the state of Washington, you cannot shoot Bigfoot. It's illegal to shoot something that doesn't exist.
Right. Just in case.
I concluded that this law is brilliant because people would be shooting people and saying, well, I thought it was
Bigfoot.
Yeah, they'd put a mask on them.
That's the one thing that you changed me, my opinion on it, because actually I didn't think it should be a law, but then when you said that, I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right, because I could see people saying, being out hunting and seeing some guy in a big, fluffy, puffy hunting jacket, you know, one of those, you know, camouflage ones, because they weren't wearing orange or something, and getting shot, and then the guy saying, oh, I thought it was Bigfoot, and...
I think even more deviantly.
Murder.
I think you murder somebody. You put the Bigfoot mask on them, and the little shoes, the flip, the
flip flop, the hairy flip flops,
the hairy flip flops,
the Uggs, the hairy Uggs,
the Uggs, Bigfoot Uggs. Why aren't we marketing Bigfoot Uggs?
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Oh my! I am.
I don't know. People might.
I might not have to do stand up forever. I might not have to go to all these little cities and. tour anymore. Maybe I don't need
I
to
thought
do
you
special.
Loved it.
I do love it, but if I had Bigfoot Ugg money, yeah. Oh, I'd be out. Private jet. Oh, Orny flies a private jet to these small.
Yeah, you could have a helipad right over here.
I got Bigfoot Ugg. We don't stop saying Ugg. We don't want to associate. We don't want to get sued. They're just called Bigfooters or Bigfooties.
Yeah. Or you could call them Bigfoot Rugs.
I don't know about that, but I'm telling you, the Kardashians, they would be down. This could be the biggest. I mean, people will think it's a goof, but it isn't. I mean, I'll be homes all over the world.
Absolutely.
Bigfooties money? You better believe
it. That's it, Bigfooties.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
You wanted to... Should we talk about the... Let me talk about this fast, and we'll talk about your article.
Okay.
Jim Clemente is my guest. Jim Clemente is a former FBI profiler. He's a badass podcaster with over 100 million downloads on Name the Two Podcasts.
Real Crime Profile and Best Case, Worst Case.
And Real Crime Profile was the first podcast ever on Wondery.
Yes,
which
it was.
Is now where all you people go to consume...
A lot of people do because they got a lot of good podcasts.
Don't you think real crime podcasting is coming to an end?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, I'm burnt out.
Really?
I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out on Dateline and 48 Hours Mystery. It's just...
Yeah, but they've been going on for 20 years, so maybe you'll be okay for another 18.
Isn't it sad that we have so many murders to fulfill all this content?
It is crazy. Yeah. It is terrible. We unfortunately have a very violent society, and that... just disappoints me tremendously.
Well, here's the good news.
What's that?
Although I don't believe it, violent crime is down 2 years in a row.
And do you measure that actually by looking at armed robberies rather than murders? Because there's a lot of murders that take place because of drugs and gangs. And that's generally the vast majority of those murders are within drugs and gangs.
So drugs and gangs down?
No. I don't think that drugs and gang murders are down, but I think armed robberies are down. Violent robberies and assaults are down.
In this city. I mean, look, you got this. You got crimes going down, population going up. That's a nice gap. I'll take it. Now, I had to call 911 the other day, Jim.
Yeah. And
do you know this story?
No, you started to tell me, and then we got onto the printer.
This is
what
unbelievable.
Happened?
It's unbelievable. I think a study came out, 70 or 80% of Californians believe that this state is on the decline. Put me on that list.
Okay. But what happened?
Put me at the top of that list.
You're at the top of every list you're on.
We have lawlessness here because you're a lot. We, blessing, mwah, chef's kiss. You want to steal $1,000 worth of stuff from the pharmacy, we're just going to watch you. In fact, the store policy is to not intervene. I talked about it on a podcast where I was at BevMo, Beverages and More, and I saw somebody walk out. And then I sat there and paid full price. I go, can I get a discount? I'm actually going to pay. I didn't have the club card.
Right.
I mean, I didn't have the club card. They're like, we can't give you a discount without the club card. I said, a guy just walked out with $998. They're great at math, these guys.
Oh, really?
They know how to come right under the threshold. But we're not going to arrest. Nobody is arresting. I live in a neighborhood. The other day, this happened within a week. Two catalytic converters were stolen.
Wow.
Then we caught mail thieves. Somebody said there's somebody going through mailboxes. And everybody turned on their cameras. And we triangulated.
Oh, really?
And actually, there were three of us. Three of us. Guess who was one of the three of us badasses that left their property and physically went on to the crime scene to detain?
Really?
Yeah.
You know what, Orny? This is perfect because you are an honorary FBI agent.
I'm a hero.
I've brought you an FBI seal.
Come on. What is this?
It's the other way around.
I've screwed it up already?
Yeah, FBI, Los Angeles.
Is this like a real, like...
Yeah, it is. You can pin it on your uniform there.
But can I, like, get out of, like speeding tickets and...
Oh, well, I don't know. You got to pull the whole thing out and then take it out.
Wait a minute. I have... Because my friends that are astronauts, they've given me stuff that was on the Artemis rocket that went into space. What does
this hasn't gone into space, but
What is this... I'm going to... Because I'll hurt myself. What is this...
Look at you.
What does this entitle me to?
It at least tells law enforcement officers that you know somebody who's
in
the FBI.
You want to shake? Can we shake?
Yeah, sir.
What an honor.
You're an honorary FBI agent now.
But wait a minute.
You've stopped crime on at least two occasions that I know of.
Is this something you get on Amazon?
No.
Or is this like a real?
No, it's real. You get it at the Los Angeles Division of the FBI.
Did you have to say who you were giving it to? Like, am I registered?
No, you're not going to be registered.
Can you get as many as you want?
I can get a few of them, yeah.
Oh, this is so great. This is the coolest. This is real. I'm not kidding. I'm not even joking. I love this. Look at this.
You. You're basically an FBI agent
well,
now.
So we
don't pull over people, though.
No, I won't, but we... I wish that the FBI would have me in for an interrogation. I'd like to be a guest interrogator.
A guest interrogator?
Yeah.
Oh, you not being interrogated.
No. But I think that I could, because... Although I failed the other day with when the police came to my home. Let me explain. First of all, we triangulated the male crooks. They're actually female. Part of the reason why I felt comfortable leaving the house, if I'm going to be honest. But we actually got them and called the police. A neighbor called the police while we were out there triangulating and got them and detained them, not physically. And the police came up and questioned them and then just let them go.
Really?
Yeah, let them go.
Even though they were committing crimes.
Committing crimes. And we all had it on video. They don't care. They don't have the bandwidth. They don't have the, you know, we're going to talk about that in a minute, the article you brought. But a few days later on, is it called Nextdoor, that app?
Yeah.
Neighbor. Yeah. Somebody posted, these people look familiar. Same two women were stealing mail again.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no... This city, this state is on a decline. I'm sorry, but Malcolm Gladwell in his book, The Tipping Point, said there's a broken window theory.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that you have to repair all the broken windows in a community because then people feel good about the community and commit less crimes.
Right.
So there's a trickle down. Like citizens may think, I don't have to stop at this stop sign. I don't have to stop at this red light because they're not arresting people going into the pharmacies and stealing stuff.
Right. It slowly breaks down our, you know, social contract in society that we're going to follow the rules and not do bad things.
Yeah, absolutely. My 911 story.
Yeah.
So
we'll get there eventually.
This has happened 4 times. In the last...
Oh, that wasn't the people with the mailbox?
Oh, no, Jim.
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
Oh, this neighborhood's calling...
Maybe I should take that back for a minute.
No. This neighborhood is calling 911 every day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad. Wow. And this is a nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
It seems quiet, but the lights go out. 4 times now in the last year and a half, thieves have cut our cable wires. They're copper. And what they do is they steal the copper and they sell it.
Right.
And what happens is it takes about 10 days for the company, I won't say which, because I don't want to give away too much, which cable company it is, it takes about 10 days to fix this problem. Because they'll take 100 yards. It's like a team comes cuts. So
multiple poles.
Yes. And this is just to make a few hundred dollars at the expense of us not having Wi-Fi, cable, telephone,
communication
in 2024. So now, anytime I'm up in the middle of the night and I see it go out, I think it's them. So I actually sneak out and peek because they do it pretty close to my house. And the other day, everything went out. TV went out and the Wi-Fi went out at the same time.
That's terrible.
I went outside and I heard them cutting.
Really?
I heard the electric saws. And it's pitch dark.
Uh-huh.
So it's scary. And you don't know how many of them are up there.
Right.
And you're also told it could be organized crime. I don't want to get involved. But I did call 911. And you have to decide in Los Angeles which 911 to call. Do you call the non-emergency or do you call the emergency?
Right.
Well, I thought this was a crime in progress, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I called the real 911.
And what did they do?
Well, Jim, I've talked about it on stage. I don't like that these calls are recorded. I don't like that it isn't uniformed. They don't, like, In some places, it's 911, what's your emergency? In other places, it's 911, where's your emergency? And I'm prepared for what's your emergency.
Okay.
I'll tell you the emergency. You'll understand the value of it, and you'll assess how quickly to get somebody out. Where is second? Second of all, they should be able to track by my phone call where.
But if they ask you where, then they can already put that in, and they'll know where to send somebody.
Well, I'll get to that. But here's, okay. I panicked.
Okay.
I panicked and I embarrassed myself out of the gate.
What did you do?
And then I lost all confidence when the police showed up.
What happened?
UP 911. And they did say, what's the emergency?
911.
This is the real 911. This could be a shooting, anything.
911, what's your emergency?
My Wi-Fi's out.
No.
That's the first thing I said.
No.
Yeah. She said, what? Yeah. I go, the Wi-Fi's out.
No.
She goes, sir, this is the emergency line.
So what'd you say? Sir, this is not the cable company.
Yeah. So I said, no, they're cutting it right now.
She cutting said, what, sir?
I said, they're cutting, they steal the copper wires. She said, where are you? And I said, this is where it's in between these two streets. Please come now. The police come. I said, this is where it is. The police come and I'm nervous because these people are, you know.
Because you already made a fool of yourself.
And I'm adjacent to a crime.
Okay, your crime is adjacent.
I don't want them to know I called the police. So my phone rings, and it's 911.
Of course.
Hi, this is 911. The police are outside your house. They want to talk to you. What, am I in trouble?
You did say my cable is out.
Am I in trouble? So I said, could you please tell them to go away? They're flashing flashlights in my windows, the upper windows. They're yelling, police, come out, police. And right behind them are the people who are cutting the kid. So if they see them looking, they know I'm the one who called the police, and they've stopped cutting, and now they're probably up there watching.
Right.
So I said, please tell them to go away. Well, they don't go away. They just keep. So finally I go out and I put clothes on.
Oh, good. So you were doing all this while you were naked.
Yeah. No, you don't call.
Call 911.
I was naked. Cable went out. I went outside.
Was it a video call?
Yeah, I went outside. That's enough. Have you heard me talk about it on my podcast?
No.
Why is 911 not a video call at this point with the technology?
Because of people like you who call when they're naked?
No, but I would put a shirt on for that.
Oh, okay.
But you should have the option to video call and show the crime in progress, and then they can capture video, which is a little behind with the technology. So I go, cable goes out. I put my clothes on. I go outside. I assess that the crime's being committed. I come back inside. I put my clothes back on. I take my clothes back off. And now 911 calls. Now I got to go out there. I got to get dressed again.
Again.
Again. It's not bad enough my cable's out. Now I got to get dressed and undressed.
Right. In the dark.
So I go out and the cops are like, so I open the gate and I say, now I'm half asleep too. It's 3:30 in the morning at this point. So I say, you guys come in here? Because I don't want them to see. They could see the police at my gate. I go, can you come in, please? And they're like, and they wouldn't come in. They didn't move. They go, what's the problem? I say, they're probably in the hills watching us right now.
They think you're a psycho.
Yeah. They go, who? I go, the people. The people are watching us. So I see slowly.
The people?
Yeah. So I see this. Slowly I see the flashlight go into each one of my eyes to see what drugs
you're on.
Yeah. And I notice I'm being body cammed.
But if you had this pin on, you would have been okay.
Yeah. So I'm
being body cammed, yes.
Because we do have a neighbor that I think is battling and is always saying, hey, there's people outside my house. Yeah. So I didn't say, hey, I just wanted these guys to shut the lights off, come in and give me some anonymity and protection. And so, yeah, I panicked twice. And I said, they're watching us. So they, and now I see the, so then the guy, he's got the body cam thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Now it's a little off center, right? For me, I see him manually adjust. We go, we got to get this guy on film.
Right.
We got to get this on film and film this guy. And
so How did it end?
We spoke for probably 5 minutes. And here's the other thing.
Did they realize you weren't insane?
Yes. Yes. Okay. But not to be critical of their work. But when I tell you there's a crime in progress, like if I just said, I just got robbed, the guy's running that way, what's with all the questions? Start looking. They're in the right, probably hiding. And I think they probably hid until...
Went away.
So here's the other thing. And we're going to talk about body cams in a second. Well, two things. One, we have them on camera. We have the car, and we have the two people walking down the street, at least from this side. They may have come from another side too, with backpacks on, with the equipment at 3 o'clock in the morning, right when it was cut, and then going back. Police don't care. And these people don't care that they're on video, meaning they walk past my house. One of my lights lit up and I saw them look like this and stop. They don't care. They still do the crime. Nobody cares if they're caught on camera, and cameras are everywhere. You brought an article talking about just this to discuss about the body cams. Want cue this up, Jim Clemente.
Yeah. Well, now when you think about it, think of all the police officers, let's say just in LA County, that wear body cams. Well, do you know they have 50 million hours worth of footage?
I do.
50 million hours.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Well, how the hell are they going to review all that? So they're enlisting AI. So AI is now reviewing police body cam footage to determine whether or not these officers are doing the right thing. So they're looking at every interaction with people that went violent. They're looking at every interaction where there was an arrest. They're looking at every interaction that escalated when the cops got there. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to use AI to make an assessment. And actually, they're going to use it to train new cops not to do.
This is from an article in ProPublica that you forwarded to me. Mm-hmm. The title of the article is, "Police Departments Are Turning to AI to Sift Through Millions of Hours of Unreviewed Body Cam Footage," which includes me.
Right.
Telling the police that there's people watching me.
Well, I think they probably reviewed that. I think they probably went right back to the office and said, "Oh, look at this lunatic that we saw. He's running around telling us that his cable's off or his Wi-Fi's off." Yeah. And then he says he thinks people are watching him. It's probably going to be on the internet soon.
Well, that's my thing is, well, first of all, if I'm in a mashup with like other famous people, then I'm cool. Like, I went to a Super Bowl party the other day.
Yeah.
I was the most famous person there. Uh-oh. And this was a famous person. So besides that person, I was the second most famous person. If I go to a Super Bowl party in Los Angeles, I expect not to be the most second famous.
Well, you're getting pretty famous though.
Yeah, it's true. So I'd like to, if I ended up on like a mashup of famous people, 911 calls and stuff, that would be cool. But what is my right to privacy with this? And we'll get to that in 1 second, but Axon, this is from the article, the nation's largest provider of police cameras and the cloud storage for the video they capture, has a database footage that has grown to around from 6 terabytes in 2016 to more than 100 petabytes. I've never even heard of a petabyte.
Well, after terabytes, don't you have... Yeah, is terabytes and then petabytes?
I don't know.
Yeah, so
for around $50,000 a year, Truvio's software allows supervisors to select from a set of specific behaviors to flag, such as when officers interrupt civilians. Oh, you'd be in trouble. they'd flag you. Every one of your too. Body... I'm not an officer. I'm Officer Jason now that I have my button.
You are Officer Jason.
But you, Jim, you interrupt more than anybody.
What are you talking about?
Your body cam would nonstop be flagged.
I never had a body cam.
Okay. Officers interrupt civilians. Use of profanity. You don't swear.
I'm from the Bronx.
Use force or mute their cameras. You know there's a problem when the police mute their own cameras.
Yeah, that's not good.
The data is based on the Truvio is collected on which officers' behaviors result in violent escalations. Among the conclusions from Truvio's research, officers need to explain what they are doing.
Right, because some officers will go into a situation. Now, they catch people by surprise, and these are people doing nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. But officers may think they're doing something wrong, and yet they don't even bother to explain. And that's a really, it's almost an entitlement sometimes with police officers. And I think they should explain as long as the situation is safe. I mean, if they have to do something first to make sure everything's safe, that's fine because safety first.
Yeah.
But after that, they should explain what they're doing. And instead of just ordering people around, they should be explaining why this should happen or that should happen.
But there's a lot of great cops out there.
Absolutely. There's 500 and something thousand cops. And there's, you know, handfuls in different areas that aren't great.
I just think that if you know every one of your actions is being recorded and monitored, it's problematic. And I'll give an example. If you and I have a conversation off mic, off camera, off podcast, it will be different. We discuss other things. We act differently. We can be more instinctual. I think if you're always thinking this is being recorded, right? Mm. Why chase the criminal sometime? Why not just let the criminal go? Like, why get yourself in trouble?
And when you think, though, that letting the criminal go, that's being recorded and they'll know that you're not doing your job?
They could try. I don't know. Like, here's where recording is great. The George Floyd murder.
Yeah.
Okay. That I'm glad that's caught. And I think that this is important. I'm just trying to understand myself. Where is the balance? Around 30 police departments currently use Trulio. In October, the NYPD signed on to a pilot program to review millions of hours of footage it produces annually. So this is just continue to grow, but you have to get going.
Yeah, I do.
Do you have to leave now?
No, we can do a couple more minutes.
Okay, we're into... why do you have to go, Jim, in the middle of a podcast? You scheduled this for 11, and now you have to go? We've only recorded for an hour. Jim, the audience
loves you. How long are your podcasts?
Patty, do you need to leave? All right, will you yell back?
A little later, because
we just need about...
I have a 2 o'clock call.
Cancel all of this, Jim. Well, Jim, I'll finish the podcast without you. I don't need you. You can excuse yourself. You can let yourself out and have some copper wire on the way out. We give it to everybody that comes to the neighborhood.
No, I want to wait till 3 a.m. So you have to call 911 again.
We have so much to discuss about this.
I know. I'll come back.
Okay.
I'll definitely come back.
Okay.
But the thing about this is...
Yes.
The AI component. Mark my words. This is where law enforcement is starting to use AI to help in law enforcement. What happens when the criminals are able to use AI to commit crimes?
Well, give me an example.
They will be way ahead. Well, it could be bank fraud. It could be any number. Well, they're using AI to mimic people's voices and making deep fake avatars of people to call up their... you know, their grandmothers and saying they got arrested or they're in an accident. They need them to send money. They're doing all sorts of stuff like that. And it's going to get worse and worse when criminals are able to actually harness AI for bad.
Yeah.
I think we're in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
A lot of trouble.
Well, I have a lot more questions about this. Jim Clemente is
come
my
back.
Guest, former FBI profiler.
If they'll have me back, I'll come back.
You gave me the button and everything, but you're going to have to let yourself out. Patty, happy birthday. I'm going to keep recording. I didn't know Jim had limited time. I didn't know Jim was too good for the podcast now.
Stop.
Yeah. How long are you in town for?
Tomorrow.
She's leaving tomorrow. She's off camera. She's outside of Big Yellow. And it was really nice to meet you. I'm sorry I didn't get to give a formal goodbye. Jim, thanks for coming.
All right. You have a great time.
Yeah,
love you
call
too.
Call me later.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. Jim Clemente, everybody. So I will talk about this a little bit more. Because I'm going to read more from the article that Jim has walked out on. Unbelievable. There are certain officers who don't introduce themselves. They interrupt people, which is what Jim does. They walk out in the middle of a case, which Jim is doing right now, and don't quite give explanations. They just do a lot of command, 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 command. The officers are heading down a wrong path, according to this article. Thanks, Jim. All right, buddy. So here's where I'm torn. Because I do think we're on camera way too much. I swear to God, Jim's stealing shit on the way out. Put that down! All right, love you guys. Take anything you want on the way out. Grab a bottle. I have good tequila and mezcal on there. Okay, so let me see. Much of the data compiled by these analysis and lessons learned from it remains confidential. See, here's my thing. It's not clear to me whether the police can release this footage, whether Trulio can release the footage. I know in Philadelphia, they've said that we will not discipline police just based on this footage. So there's a lot that has to be. And of course, there's a battle between the people, the police unions, and all that sort of stuff. So I'll have Jim back on and we'll talk about that. But let me just say this, okay? As I wrap up episode 103 of What's Wrong with Orny Adams, this article doesn't surprise me at all. You ever make out with somebody or date somebody or even just have a casual conversation with somebody and their breath is so bad, you say, this person is dying. This is not a healthy person. Like sometimes you smell somebody, you go, that's not right. Well, this is a article that was forwarded to me by my friends at KFI, 6:40 a.m. KFI, my friends over there. How you smell sheds light on how healthy you are. So it's actually true. Hundreds of chemicals stream from our bodies into the air every second. Whoa. These chemicals release into the air easily as they have high vapor pressures, meaning they boil and turn into gases at room temperature. I'm not sure how anything boils at room temperature, but these chemicals are. This gives us clues about who we are and how healthy we are. Since ancient Greek times, we've known that we smell differently when we are unwell. While we rely on blood analysis today, ancient Greek physicians used smell to diagnose maladies. If they took a whiff of your breath and described it as, here's my Latin, fetor hepaticus, H-E-P-A-T-I-C-U-S, hepaticus, meaning bad liver, it meant you could be headed for liver failure. If a person's whiff was sweet and fruity, physicians thought this meant that they had sugars in the digestive system that weren't broken down. Well, how do we know they didn't just eat an orange? And that person probably had diabetes. I didn't even know they knew about diabetes back then in Greek times. How did they know about diabetes? Didn't they die when they were like 40? Didn't they die before diabetes really kicked in? I guess I'm thinking type 2. Type 1, you'd know early on. Science has since shown the ancient Greeks were right. Liver failure and diabetes and many other diseases, including infectious diseases, give your breath a distinctive smell. I've smelled constipation. Dog problems on people's breath. In 1971, Nobel laureate chemist Linus Pauling counted 250 different gaseous chemicals in the breath. 250. These gaseous chemicals are called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. Remember that acronym, VOCs. I'm going to be discussing it for the next few minutes. Since Pauling's discovery, other scientists have discovered hundreds more VOCs in our breath. We have learned that many of these VOCs have distinctive odors, but some have no odor that our noses can perceive. Well, how are we going to detect them then? A Scottish man's Parkinson's disease onset was identified by his wife, a retired nurse, Joy Milner. Sounds like she wasn't that retired. Still diagnosing. After she was convinced the way he smelled had changed years before he was diagnosed in 2005. So before he was diagnosed in 2005, she said, hey, you smell like Parkinson's. You smell different. I wonder if like people on the Parkinson's wing of a hospital have the same smell. You know, you ever go into an old age home and it just, you just go, what the hell is going on here? That's why I just don't want to get old. Oh, God. Jeez. Anyway, this discovery has led to research programs involving Joy Milner to identify the precise smell of the disease. Dogs. By the way, I didn't get to the plastic article I discussed at the beginning. I'll get to that in What's Wrong with Orny Adams 104, I promise. Dogs can sniff out more diseases than humans because of their sophisticated olfactory talents. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could just go see dogs instead of a physician? You just walk up to a dog, a special dog, and go, like, what copay would a dog have? It's got to be less than a human. And then how does a dog, okay, let's say Wait a minute. Dogs can sniff out diseases, but how? How do they know what the is? Oh, I got it. I bet this is it. I bet there's disease dogs that sniff for a specific disease. So some would be cancer, mesothelioma, bladder, diabetes, liver disease, all this stuff. And I bet someday they'll just line up the 25 dogs and you just start blowing into the mouths, into the nose, into the schnozzles of each dog and pray the dog doesn't alert. Pray the dog doesn't go, oh God, the mesothelioma dog alerted. But technology techniques like analytical tool, mass spectrometry, why do they have to work such use big words? Just speak to us. Picks up on even more subtle changes in VOC. So they've got diseases. And they said one day some diseases will be diagnosed. What's a disease if I can't make my mouth move the way it's supposed to? Simply by breathing into a device. Breath is not the only source of VOCs in the body. They are also emitted from skin, urine, and feces. VOCs from skin are the results of millions of skin glands removing metabolic waste from the body. It's, you know, humans are disgusting. We're just disgusting. When I'm sitting on a plane, there's people VOCing everywhere. That's all I see. Now when I'm on the plane to Sarasota Thursday, I'm just going to look around and go, oh, people are just shedding VOCs. This is disgusting. VOCs, it's the removing metabolic waste from the body as well as waste generated by bacteria and other microbes that live in our skin. Sweating produces extra nutrients for these bacteria to metabolize. And they can result in particularly odorous VOCs. Odor from sweat only makes up a fraction of the scents from VOCs, though. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, here's the other thing from the article still. We are relatively early stage in this research area. We are at a relatively early stage in this research area. But we have shown that you can tell males from females based on how acidic the VOCs are in the skin. I don't know if you can say that anymore. These dogs pick out a female versus a male, they might get canceled. Anyway, we can also predict a person's age with reasonable accuracy within a few years from the skin of a VOC profile. Wow. Also, VOCs, pheromones fall under that. And, you know, pheromones are like when you're in love, you know, you can sense. Sometimes you're around somebody and you're attracted to them. They're just giving off pheromones. And I believe in this too. It is possible that humans also produce VOCs for attraction to the perfect mate. Scientists have yet to fully decode skin or other VOCs that are released from our bodies. But evidence for human love pheromones so far is controversial at best. Not according to me. I believe in it. One theory suggests that they were lost. Pheromones were lost 23 million years ago when primates developed full color vision and started relying on their enhanced vision to choose a mate. Well, I didn't realize we didn't see in color all the time. Well, here's what I have to say. And I want to thank you, the listeners and the viewers of What's Wrong with Orny Adams. I want to thank everybody that's taking the time to rate this podcast. Somebody just put up a great review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's on Google. It's everywhere. Older episodes on YouTube. The newer ones are on Patreon. You can support me. I appreciate it. But just if you share this with people, you enjoy it. My email is What's Wrong at Orny Adams. But I just want to say this. I just want to say this. That, I'm just thinking about the breath thing, because I'm just trying to wrap this up. I've actually diagnosed. I know this woman diagnosed her husband with Parkinson, but I've been around people and I've said, I think you need a tooth pull. I think you've got like, you have a root canal. You're rotting. So you know what? I'm going to start diagnosing people and telling people, hey, you know, you have bad breath, but you're also dying. You're dying. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Episode 103. I want to thank Jim Clemente. I want to wish his sister Patty a very happy birthday. I want to thank everybody that listens to this podcast, that's coming to my live shows, ornyadams.com/tour. I'll be in Sarasota, and then I'm going off to Vegas. I'll be in Chicago for a Teen Wolf convention. I'll be all over the place. I'm rocking and rolling, and I'm going to be adding more dates. I've got a couple of offers coming out of Florida, other places. Stay tuned. This train is rocking and rolling. I got an FBI pin now. Let me tell you something. Don't mess with me. I got an FBI pin, and I have a pin from NASA, an official Artemis pin that was, I think that's the name of the craft that was on. And by the way, Jim Kelly, the astronaut, was at my show last Saturday night at the Improv. So starting to develop some real cool friends, and I really appreciate it. But you guys are cool to me, too, and love you guys. Really, really do. So thank you for tuning in. And I just hope between now and the next time I podcast, I don't have to call 911 again. That's all I hope for. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, my cable wires don't keep getting cut. And I hope if I do call 911 again, I don't sound like such a jackass. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you for episode 104. Also, thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for mastering the audio. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you soon.